Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our trouble will be out of sight. And have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now, no problem. I've gone right out then. Let's just end on a high note.
What's on your Christmas wish list this year?
That's kind of hanging that stuff on a personal side. Just trying to get the team ready to go next week against the Jets. We're just trying to get the team ready to go against the Jets. I'll just leave the personal questions aside for right now. Yeah.
On Robinson, on Batonio, on Treader, on Zeitler, on Hubbard, on Harrison, on Corbett, on Watford, on Kalis. Right. Ho, ho, ho! Move! Move it, move it! Ho, ho, ho!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm back. Can you move me?
I mean, that was just a layup for the Cleveland Browns to put out that Bob Wiley video of him as Santa Claus.
Bob Wiley's the very overweight offensive line coach, soon to be head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I would hope so. Maybe he's the secret weapon. Maybe he's the reason they've been winning so much. So
yeah,
far.
They call me the secret weapon. I call a stick with a washcloth on it the secret weapon.
That's so you can reach when you have
so
to.
So I can reach.
You have to clean up a mess.
Well, you gotta hit the phone.
Yes, you do. You have to make sure every one of the
phones. You gotta hit the phone.
You don't want any kind of bacteria buildup or anything like
Mom
that.
Mom always told me, you gotta hit the phone.
Is that what Mom always told you?
Mom would
That's
say,
so disturbing.
Bob, I smell you from here. I'd say, what?
Oh, God. It's a 604.
Hey,
it's a
Mom.
Record.
Hey, Mom, what you talking about? I don't smell nothing on me.
Did she give you the stick with the thing at the end?
Hey, how'd you think of this invention? A stick with a washcloth on the end.
You know, clean up the
clean all the phones. All right. Clean all the phones. clean them all up. Right.
Didn't mean to cut the song off on you, Bob Wiley.
Don't ever cut the song off of Bob. He's always got something else to say. Please don't chop off an egg. Diabetes.
Oh, the diabetes.
I got real bad diabetes. Hey, did it myself. Hey, don't chop off stuff.
Don't chop off stuff?
Yeah. I'm like Fred's gonna be real sick and taking off some limbs.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Now we can officially end that song.
Now we can end the song.
Excellent. We have Tim McCone in studio.
We certainly do. Sarge has bagged out. He claims to be at a funeral today. Tim McCone, do you have any knowledge of, are you friends with Sarge?
Yeah, we text.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You are friends with Sarge.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no funeral.
He said funeral to me. I know that. That's what he said.
That doesn't sound like there's a funeral.
Okay, so when when did he text you with the funeral?
This was on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he texted you on Monday about a funeral today.
Yes.
Not a wake, but a funeral.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the idea was he was close enough to the person that he would skip work to go to a funeral, but he found out 24 hours, not even. No, I'm sorry. He found out
48 hours.
Not even 48 hours before that there was going to be a funeral.
Well, I that's believable. I've had that happen before.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not. We've all discussed it, and Dan O'Brien's been to 5 million funerals. And it's been discussed that that is not...
Well, he might have found it over the weekend. Well, not and then you're... told him on Monday. I mean...
No. You would tell him as soon as you heard. Why would you wait till Monday?
Well, because no one's at work.
Yeah, but people have email.
Sure.
And people... No, this isn't, 1960.
We have more information, if you'd like, a little bit of insight. That he worked on Sunday and didn't say anything to anybody on Sunday.
Okay.
Regarding, hey... I might be out, I'm scheduled on Wednesday. I might not be able to make it.
Okay. I've had a 3-day notice before in a funeral. That's the shortest I've had.
Someone you were close enough notices. That you would go to the burial.
Yes.
Yes. See, that's the key. Sometimes this Rich, being a Catholic and suffering from Catholic guilt, you have different levels of when you attend a wake, funeral,
Tim McCone
a service.
Is laughing.
Right.
And it seems uncomfortable because he seems to know that there's no funeral.
I'm going to give up the ghost.
And I know people around the station are wary of the idea that there was a funeral.
Well, that's that's a little dangerous, because what if the guy's actually dead?
Well, how close could they be?
I've had 3 days notice before.
From someone you were very close to?
Yes, someone's related to. I've had 3 days notice.
How extended the relation?
Grandparent.
They buried a grandparent that quick?
Yep, that quick. They wanted to get it done. They wanted to quickly want to get it done because everyone was kind of coming in town to console my family. And they were like, well, let's see if we can get this done. And it was in 3 days.
So now,
they might have known 4 days in advance, but I found out 3 days.
So they contacted a was there a cremation?
No, it was
okay,
casket.
So they contacted a well, how old was the person?
Oh, 90.
Okay, so 90 years old, you have a plot of land that you probably already bought.
They did. They already had it.
Right.
It was ready to
and
go.
So it's all ready to go.
Yeah.
So someone obviously, like my parents don't have my parents are in their mid-70s. Mm-hmm. They don't have plots of land to get buried in. So it would have to be someone that you had a plot that was old enough to have invested in a plot of land.
I don't know who Sarge's person is. I'm just saying that I've had 3 days notice before. It was in, and listen, it's not.
Do you believe that Sarge has a funeral?
Yeah, I do. I don't think that there's any reason he would just try
McCone
to not be on the show.
No, because he doesn't want to be on the show. He doesn't want to take the verbal abuse. McCone's in there. He knows. He knows he's laughing. He doesn't believe that there's a funeral.
I think there was a funeral. I'm going to give Sarge the benefit of the doubt here.
All right, so you think there was a funeral. Well, there's obviously funerals going on today.
I'm not even giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think that he would come on the show in a heartbeat.
Yes, I think so, too.
He's asked to come on before. Like, recently.
Well, okay. I mean, people die and there's funerals and all of that.
The funeral thing, it doesn't happen often.
The funeral thing is a good excuse because even though there's a lot of doubt around the station that there's a funeral, I mean, what are you going to tell the guy? Like, you can't take off work? I mean, it's just something that's kind of bulletproof in that no one's going to question you directly,
Is anyone going to the same funeral as Sarge? 617-779-0985.
Are there funerals in Needham today?
Is that where it's going to be?
Where's the funeral, Tim McCone?
I don't know.
There's got
to
be.
Now you're close to him.
I'm on the outside of the Kowloon crew. I'm like the secondary list.
Yeah. Okay, you're not in the crew.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he? So he just goes, I got a funeral.
Yeah.
So, but how often do you text?
Like, just on the weekend or something like that, if he needs, like, a shift change or something.
So you're not friends. Okay, so, but...
All right.
I don't wouldn't you say, like, hey, so-and-so died?
Well, he did. I mean, he's
just a friend.
Well, I mean, you don't have to say specifically who it is. I mean, if I had to ask out for a funeral, I mean, I would tell our program director, but I wouldn't think that I would tell anyone else.
Randy, go ahead.
Fred, I mean, you're kind of being a DB here. What does it matter if the guy has a funeral or not? Why are you getting so upset?
Not upset at all. It's just a mystery.
Oh, a mystery that a guy has a funeral? I mean, it's a big deal. You're making a big deal out of literally nothing, and then I don't get it.
Well, that's kind of what radio is, isn't it? I mean, making a big deal about the Patriots running game isn't exactly a life or death situation.
It's a little bit different. A funeral versus the Patriots running game. Who cares? They're not going anywhere. Patriots are done. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to the playoffs.
No, funeral is not going anywhere.
I just got a tweet that said if Sarge would have said his cat was sick, would Fred still be giving him hell?
The cat sickness. The cat sickness. I can tell you this is far more believable. Because it's something I told you. I was coming into work and I told you exactly what was going on. I told you everything, as silly as it sounds. Mm-hmm. But I gave you everything that was going on. I gave you explicit details in that she had a kidney problem.
Sure, but Sarge doesn't have to do that. Like,
I mean, I didn't say he had to do that.
When could he have done that? I guess is a better point. When could he have given explicit details to us?
He could have, not to us. He could have told. He could have just been like, "Hey, I got a funeral." Da 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 da.
Which he did say.
He just said, "I have a funeral."
Yeah.
There was no detail at all.
Well, who? When could he have told us? Or anyone.
Not us. He doesn't have to tell us. He would tell Tim McComb. He would tell Rick Radzik. He would tell Mike Thomas. He would tell anybody. I mean, that's all. Every time Dan has to bag out after the show for a funeral, which is once a week, he almost
weird.
Literally.
I keep a suit in my car, you know, just in case you have to changeover in the bathroom and then run
every
off.
Time he bags out for a funeral, he goes like, hey, like one of my cousins or some uncle or something died.
When Dan leaves, he just puts on a cloak and carries a sickle around.
Yeah.
It's like everyone
wants to see me coming, right?
Everyone who's friends with Dan dies pretty soon.
Not friends, but that was very, how dare you? But
extended family. Everyone's an extended family.
Right. He's got 75 million relatives, so he's bagging out of stuff for funerals all the time. But it's always after the show. Listen, all right. I mean, I'm not going to discuss Sarge all day. There was just some talk of if that was a legitimate excuse. And don't give me the whole, you know, it's a funeral and don't talk about it crap. Because guess what? We've all been to one, and we'll all go to many more, unless ours comes first. So, don't give me that, you know.
What if the funeral is ours, Fred?
No, well, then I'd like to be there. I just want my ashes scattered right here in the studio, my happiest place on the planet. All right, Rich, what happened last night can't be easy today. I mean, there was no games last night, but what we discussed.
Okay, believe it or not, there is actually something that needs to be discussed, and that is the spin that is happening within the Patriots organization about why the team blew the game on Sunday.
Yes, there is many, many theories on that from many, many coaches. We will talk about that.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Denny at 5, the sports sub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' go twos. Participation may vary. As the Patriots head into their final two games of the regular season, it seems like we still have no new idea who the hell this team is. Is Tom Brady that stud quarterback who always finds a way to win in the end? Or is he now the guy who forgets how many timeouts his team has at the end of the half before taking a sack? Well, Bill Belichick on his conference call with the media was asked yesterday about Brady's decision-making as of late, specifically at the end of the Steelers game on Sunday.
So on the third down play at the end of the game, James White was open underneath. Was there a preference for him to throw the ball in the end zone? Edict would be too strong a word. Or do you think that maybe was a possibility to check underneath to White with that many seconds on the clock?
Well, again, you know, Tom's a very experienced quarterback in our system, very experienced playing against our opponent, Pittsburgh, last week, has excellent judgment and decision-making abilities. All the questions about why don't we throw to this guy? Because there's five guys out on the pattern, and we're going to try to do what's best on that play. And I'm not going to second-guess it. You can second-guess it if you want to, but nobody knows better at that time with the ball in his hands where he feels like he's got the best chance. And if we complete a pass and the clock's running and how much time that's going to take and what we have left, like, that's a split-second decision that he's got to make. I don't think anybody will make it better than him.
Okay, that's an all right answer. Like, that's a Bill Belichick answer that has substance to it.
I'm always curious who's typing and why they stop when the answer starts.
I typed
the question, but then they completely stop, like, once the answer starts.
Okay, there's an unwritten rule, Fred, on these conference calls that if you are a reporter, you press mute on your phone while the conference call is going on, so whatever background noise happens to be happening on your side doesn't affect the entire conference call. Because I think there's like maybe upwards of 10 people on the phone at the same time. It's like a party line with 10 different people. So you're supposed to press mute. There's always some guy who's got Clydesdale fingers who's typing away.
But they stop.
Probably because they realize it's everyone can hear it and they press the mute button.
Well, it happens every single time.
Record it. Why are you clomping the whole thing unless you're trying to, got to get it out to the world. You got to tweet it out before anyone else.
I don't even know if it's on that end. It might be the Patriots that are just typing out the questions.
By the way, that's, he's not a hunk. He's a cutie pie, did we determine?
Yeah,
Mike Giardi?
He's a little cutie
pie. Okay, it's cutie pie. He will be on with a 720. Mike Giardi, who asked that from the NFL Network. He was not as happy with, I believe this is a Phil Perry question coming his way.
Specifically with run game fundamentals, are those at all more challenging to work on this time of year as, you know, players are, and the team is managing players' health and there's limits on contact and that sort of thing?
I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, this National Football League season has been 16 games for, I don't know, 40 years.
All right, well, that's a crappy answer.
Now go home and get your shine box.
Maybe that's Belichick just doing that, just to piss everybody
off.
It's
a typewriter.
He's making all of them like turn against each other. It's Ernie Adams.
Computers don't sound like that.
It's Ernie Adams going analog, just to build the pressure. He's like the firecracker kid in the drug deal scene of Boogie Nights. He just builds tension to the whole situation.
He said something yesterday that I found odd, and I have to find.
Who, Belichick? Oh, yes. He said a few odd things. Out of all the stuff he said, he got like one good answer out of him, it seemed like, and that was Giardi's question. All right, that's fine. Why can't you answer most questions like that? However, at that point, I mean, to the point he was talking about there with Brady's decision-making, many people were wondering, however, not on Brady, why the hell wasn't Josh Gordon on the field for the final play of the game? Well, Josh McDaniels was asked this very question yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, Josh, just wondering on the final play of the game, what went into the decision to take Josh Gordon off and have Cordarrelle Patterson come on?
You know, we had just kind of, you know, run quite a few plays in a row. I know there was a timeout there before that. You know, both of those guys have, you know, worked at that spot and, you know, in that type of a situation based on what we were doing. You know, we made the choice to go with CP at that point. No ulterior motive on that at all. Just, you know, put a fresh guy in to go ahead and do something, you know, on the last play to see if we can, you know, get into the end zone. And, you know, it is what it is.
All right. Well, obviously a lot of stuff going on in the background there.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's always a great answer. Josh McDaniels, by the way, after that, added that he never wanted to make toys and that he always wanted to be a dentist. But here's the one thing that we know for sure. The subject of Tom Brady is a hot one. What aspect of Tom Brady does it even matter? Because it's got everyone all fired up, including the forever muscular Mr. Skip Bayless.
Yeah, he will tell you, even in the promos for it, he gets up and he just starts, like, pumping iron. In the promos to show, this is absolutely true.
To get ready?
They show him and he gets up and he starts pumping iron, and then he gets and he sits in front of like 18 TVs. This is really in the promo.
Well, we'll have to play that in a few minutes.
Well, you can't. It's all visual.
Well, no, we'll have to play him getting all fired up about Tom Brady because there's nothing better than that. But the Pro Bowl honorees were announced yesterday, and the New England Patriots are sending a whopping two players,
which is
Stephon Gilmore, who absolutely deserved this nomination this year, and Tom Brady, who absolutely did not.
By the way, no Slater. Special teamer Adrian Phillips from the L.A. Chargers. Slater's just usually like a non-challenge candidate. And if you want to know about the Pro Bowl, the Jets have three Pro Bowl players.
That's kind of putting things in perspective, isn't it? That is interesting at where the Patriots
are. Yeah, they're like at garbage positions except for Jamal Adams.
Well, still, I mean, there's Patriot players who play garbage positions.
Yep. Well, just so, I mean, when Slater's not the special teamer, which is just like the worst one you can be.
Right, right.
It's just like, hey, you know, like, congratulations, you're kind of a scrub. But he has not made it. Usually that's just an uncontested race.
But even this year, they're saying, nope, not so fast.
You know, my allergies start acting up a little bit.
That was the case. So you've got Brady, who is nominated along with no-brainers Patrick Mahomes and Phillip Rivers, each legitimate MVP candidates. However, not making the cut, Andrew Luck, who has an incredible 10 more touchdown passes than Tom Brady. But don't worry, there was also weirdness on the NFC side of things as well, with Aaron Rodgers getting a Pro Bowl nod after having a less than stellar year. Over there, you had Drew Brees and Jared Goff as well. And I may be wrong about this, but I believe five of the top six picks in the 2018 draft either made the Pro Bowl outright, like Barkley, Ward, or Nelson, and then Nelson, or as alternates with Mayfield and Chubb. Can you check, see who's missing from that list? I don't know which of the top...
I have it right here.
Can anyone by any chance check that for me? Which one of the top six didn't make it? Anyone? No? Oh, it's Sammy D, Sam Darnold. Okay, well...
He was hurt.
All right, well, sure.
Well, no. The Baker Mayfield didn't make it.
Yeah, he did.
No, we didn't. Tom Brady, as an alternate. Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Yes, Mayfield and Chubb are alternates. What I'm saying is an alternate or an outright. So Mayfield and Chubb both made it as alternates.
Yeah, Sam Darnold didn't play a lot. He had his foot was hurt. He just no one to throw to. The Jets that made it are Jamal Adams, who's the best safety in football, and then their kicker and their returner. Yeah, of course Sammy D's not going to make it.
Well, that's where we're at now, though. Where Tom Brady, even though he has 10 less touchdowns than Andrew Luck, it's just going to be grandfathered in, and that's the Aaron Rodgers situation as well. I mean, if you look statistically, Matt Ryan had an amazing year, like just stat-wise, and I mean, a Pro Bowl caliber year. I'm sure no one's complaining about not making the Pro Bowl, especially when you're making as much money as these quarterbacks are. Now, if you're a special teams dude, you get a nice little bump. You know, a little like what, 50K or something like that, if you end up making the Pro Bowl?
Well, they don't never go. I'm wondering if the Patriots get eliminated if Brady goes, because he knows there's not many years left. And if he's going to enjoy the process of going out to Orlando.
I think he'll go. I think if they don't make the Super Bowl, he's going to go.
I don't think there's any way that he goes. All right, Rich, we'll go to the headlines, but first, what will we talk about?
We'll get to hear Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp scream at each other. On top of that, I have what might be the creepiest story of the Christmas season.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. All right. Here are the
scary headlines. Ghost stories.
Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Touched from Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for a chance to score a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden. At a Globetrotters game, you won't just be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at harlemglobetrotters.com. By the way, looking at this Pro Bowl, basically the entire Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is in it.
Yeah, there's a million Chargers in there, too.
Yeah, the Chargers had the most. But, there's Alejandro Villanueva, who is starting at tackle. There is David DeCastro, who's starting at guard. There's Marquise Pouncey. He's starting, but his brother is the backup. So look at that. When they are eliminated in the first round, they can all go out to Orlando.
Did my man from from the Colts get nominated?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Is Quentin on there?
He is not.
Really? Because he's been unbelievable this season.
Oh, no, he is.
Oh, he is?
Quentin
okay.
Nelson is.
Yeah.
Quentin Nelson is.
He's the guy that...
Margus Hunt is not, unfortunately.
Okay.
Well, apparently, according to Mike Lockhart, has been having a monster year for Indianapolis.
Well, Will Brinson we had on yesterday and said that I guess this guy Quentin from the Colts has a thing where he'll just arrest his junk on people's faces.
He teabags everyone.
Which is like...
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
And as we said, you know, I hope he never has to deal with Cordarrelle Peterson because he'll just grab him and not let go.
Right.
He is not a man who favors that kind
of
thing.
I'm a grown man. I don't need any of that in my face.
Okay, so there is a lot of debate about Tom Brady and how well he's been playing as of late. Let's listen to Super Muscle Man Skip Bayless scream about it with our friend, Shannon Sharp.
By the way, again, Skip Bayless, at least the last time I read about him, but this was when he was with ESPN, lived in a hotel room where he would get up, and he would work out for several hours. And every meal, at the beginning of every week, he would get chicken and broccoli from a Chinese restaurant and get it. And he would eat that for almost, he would eat that for every meal. And then on the weekends, he would go on a date with his girlfriend and he would have a piece of pizza.
Bayless said yesterday that he's only missed 3 workouts in 20 years.
And that's how often does he work out?
Well, I mean,
you can't overextend yourself.
He also made some claim that he could beat Tim. What was this? He could beat LeBron James. Like if they were to run like 10 miles, he would beat LeBron James in a race.
Yeah, of course he would. LeBron James
is Skip Bayless.
Yeah, he's not built to run 10 miles. He's got explosive speed. Bayless is
yeah,
in
an 8 mile
eight
race.
Mile race.
He
yeah.
said that he could beat LeBron James in an 8 mile race.
Yeah. Bayless could do anything.
He said, I always think of LeBron since he's the guy we talk about the most, or Tom Brady. I'm going to the top of the food chain with both of them. I definitely could outrun those two for 8 miles. Well, Tom Brady, that's easy. I mean, he said, I would do it for any amount of money. I still run pretty well. I'm pretty fast. My 8th mile is usually around 6.5. My other miles be more like 7.5 or 8. Let's take LeBron. At 8'9", 260 pounds, it's just physics.
8'9"?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say 8'9"? Sorry. Well, listen, he imagines him that way. He's just a mountain of a man.
Yeah, Bayless is not the tallest man in the world.
So it's too many pounds to carry over a distance. I'd do it tomorrow because I lift weights so hard and run so much. Yeah, that's a real quote. Because I lift weights so hard and run so much. Yeah, I believe I can outrun most everyone.
Yeah.
Because lifting weights makes you fast.
Well, but you know what you can't do is you can't overtrain. I mean, you certainly need to give those muscles some time to get bigger. You can't. You're ripping the muscle, and you need to let it bulk up.
Mm-hmm.
Bayless may be overtraining, but here they are. Here is Shannon Sharp, who I would imagine works out not as much as Bayless, who's covering up for something mentally. That maybe that's the way he punishes himself for being as miserable as he probably is. Here we go.
Now, yeah. Very few people are willing to critique a all-time great. Mm. See, me, sure. I don't care. You know why? Because I sit at the desk across from this man every day and we debate topics. Mm. I'm never going in the field to interview anybody.
Mm.
See, those guys have to be very careful because if you critique the all-time greats too harshly, they won't sit down with you.
Yeah. Bayless is always eating pasta. Delicious.
I'm here. That is right. We're here debating no matter what. No matter what happens, we're here 5 days a week debating each other. No matter what's going on in the world, we will find a way to debate. It's so entertaining after a while. Just constant debate, regardless of our actual opinions or our lack thereof. I have an opinion on everything. I'm so interested in all of this.
I don't give a damn if they talk to Shannon Sharp.
Nor do I.
But see, Skip Bayless, what he tries to do, he tried to flip it and said, you're jealous. Charles Woodson has a Heisman Trophy. Charles Woodson is a Defensive Player of the Year. Charles Woodson has the Super Bowl ring.
What happened to Charles Woodson when he played against Tom Brady in a playoff game at Foxborough? The bridge got burned. The ties got cut.
How?
Because he got tuck ruled. And he was the one who caused the fumble. So he still hasn't forgiven Tom Brady for getting away
Tom
with
didn't
that.
Tom didn't
That's
pick up the
what
flag.
It was.
Tom didn't pick up the flag.
That's why he's...
No, he's not. Skip, Skip, you got
to
stop.
It's okay to be a little resentful.
You know what I've...
It's okay.
Jenny, this is what I've learned, and I wrote this down. We really listen to what we want to hear. If you notice, when you want to find information...
and he wrote it down.
I had to write this down.
I like Shannon Sharp, but he's not coming across very good here.
No, he had to write it down. I wrote this down.
Which one is important.
Yeah. You got to write it down. I went through the great lengths of finding something to write down. It was on the back of this napkin.
Where can I go to get the information that I want to hear?
True.
Shannon Sharp gonna give it to you filtered. Uncut. Skip, ain't it that way?
Are you saying mine's filtered?
Yeah, you filtered.
I'm filtered?
You gave Dak Prescott.
Do you think I care what anybody says? Yes. Do you think I want to interview anybody?
Oh, yeah, punk rock.
We got a renegade.
Yeah, baby. Someone's a little bit of a punk rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
And immediately he put a matchstick in his mouth and drove away in his Karmann Ghia. Went home and cut pizza with scissors. He says, I don't shop here.
Nah, he just went home and he was just like, damn it, Shannon. He's like, these cable... Couldn't do cable presses today. Why? Shock the muscles.
You got a picture of Shannon Sharp on his ceiling as he's doing his he's maxing out.
Yeah, him and Shannon shake hands afterwards, but then he remembers his youth, and then he starts gradually torturing himself.
I'm filtered?
You gave Dak Prescott.
Do you think I care what anybody says?
Yes.
Do you think I want to interview anybody?
Yes. No,
I don't interview anybody.
Neither of you guys.
Zero.
You interviewed.
Zero.
Hold on. Time out. You didn't interview Tim Tebow?
Yeah,
why? Oh, whoa, time out.
And he requested that I interview him.
Hey, now, why would he do that? Why would he? That's not what Skip Bayless does. Why would he request Skip Bayless and not something? Hey, come on, Skip.
What were they talking about again?
I don't know. The show is really captivating. Skip, I like that I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't interview anyone. All right. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Why don't you? It might be a nice change of pace.
Right, I think that might kind of add to your cred.
Right, no,
you spoke to these people.
Not the cred. It's just entertainment value of the show. So it's literally just you two yelling all day, all show. Again, I've never seen it. I've seen it, rather. I've never heard it. Because, again, this is only exists to be closed captioned. At a diner or a bar.
Do you think I cared whether I interviewed him?
So I want you to say again, because I was talking and they didn't hear you. Why did he request Skip? He was what?
Because he was comfortable with
him. Oh! They ain't going to get comfortable with
you. That's a good sign.
I was the only one who supported him as he made everybody else.
My job is here.
Wait. I was the only one who supported him when nobody else did and everybody else looked
Nobody supported Tim Tebow.
Yeah, you were
right. Let me introduce you to the people who sent letters to the station.
They certainly supported him at the. They wanted me off. They wanted me fired for even making a light jab at him. They all wanted me fired.
Is nobody supported Tim Tebow the worst take of all time?
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah. No, the worst take of all time is anything that. Ray Lewis has said.
Okay, well, that might be right. How much crap? Or evil, as you call it, crap?
Yeah, that was the worst thing I've ever heard an athlete that wasn't completely insane say. I mean, there's athletes that have said, you know, like, there are no dinosaurs and things of that nature.
Sure, the Carl Everetts of the world.
Yeah, but there's...
The devil put the dinosaurs here.
Well, the devil, that was a misdirection. That was a juke. That they did.
I was the only one who supported him when nobody else did and everybody else looked foolish, including Shannon Sharp. Am I right?
But my job, I'm not here to support anybody. I'm here to give you the facts. Uncut and truth.
Yeah, I resent that. I resent that.
Why could you be so against circumcision? I mean, the entire time, just bragging about the fact that you were not circumcised.
Uncut.
I mean, I know that it's supposed to bring much more pleasure, but is it sanitary? I mean, that's still up in the air. Shannon Sharp admitting being a goyim at this point in the interview.
What? I do. I reject that notion. Do you think I'm trying to play to people like I'm trying to cut?
Jimmy,
wait. Have I ever talked to Tom Brady once in my life?
I don't know.
No. I resent that. I do. I seriously. Don't, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I don't like that.
Skip, don't resent.
You crossed the line. I'm sorry. Skip. I don't talk to anybody. I have never spoken one word to Tom Brady. Never tried to call him. Never asked to interview him.
Hold on,
one time.
Why are they bragging about this?
I don't know. I live a monkish life. I don't talk to anybody.
That's right.
I have a vow of silence 23 hours a day. That I come in here and just, I'm cultivating takes. I sit in a quiet room in a yoga pose, just contemplating my sports takes for the day. I get up very early in the morning and lift weights. And then from then on, it's just take city.
Have I ever talked to Dak Prescott except on this show when he came on the show? No, nope. Sorry.
Hold on, time out.
No, you can't get away with that. Sorry.
Hold on, time out. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait a minute.
No.
Hold on.
I'm not going to hold it.
You're going to sit here and tell me I'm a hater.
You got to hold it.
You hold it. No, you're the one who needs to hold
it's
it.
It's uncut. You hold it. Please, already. Would you please hold it just to familiarize yourself with it?
No, you can't get away with that. Sorry.
Hold on, come on, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait a minute.
No.
Hold on.
I'm not going to hold it.
You're going to sit here and tell me I'm a hater. I'm jealous of Tom Brady.
Yeah,
and because you're comfortable with Tim Tebow, I don't care.
What are you talking about? Have I ever talked to Tim Tebow since I interviewed
you? You're going to sit here and question a Hall of Famer with three Super Bowls and talk about I'm jealous of Tom Brady?
Yes, because you have to stop at 35.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a whole different world.
And just because you come Tim Tebow comfortable and you love Tim Tebow and Tom Brady, so I don't care if you resent it.
I like them as players, but I don't like them on the field.
Resent it.
All right. All right. They got a lot done there. Now, what was the opinion?
That they don't interview people.
No, seriously. So the opinion was that...
What did it start with?
With Shannon Sharpe thinks Brady is done and then Skip Bayless says he's not, because it was not articulated in that argument.
Fred, I'm serious and I'm not trying to be like funny right now. I have no idea what they're talking about. Like why they launched into that. But somebody points out and says they're debating about... Are they debating about their debating skills for 15 minutes?
Yes, they were.
Yes, that's what it sounded like.
Right. Well, I mean, I can't. Who can blame him? I mean, it's
so there. Take that, Tom Brady, and that's my opinion on him.
That's right. They've never. None of them have interviewed him. That's all you need to know. And neither have I,
because that's apparently a bad thing,
right? And Shannon Sharpe is very jealous of Tom Brady because Shannon Sharpe had to retire at 35. So if he only elongated his muscles more. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden. At a Globetrotters game, you won't just be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at harlemglobetrotters.com.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I have these got Girl Scout cookies. I forgot to get the money up front, and now everyone's had money though so far. And my daughter, I couldn't even bring Rich's in. Rich had ordered so many cookies that he'd $50 worth of cookies.
Cookies, they slap.
If you're an old fan of the show, you know the story, and. My daughter, my wife said you have to make a thank you note. Just say thank you, Zoe, like basically. And she decided to draw faces on them. And she made the eyes X's. And like, you know, instead of like an eyeball, she put an X.
Like they're all dead.
Well, yeah. My wife said, why did you make the faces like this? And she goes, I wanted to make them look dead.
She said that.
Yep. She said, I wanted to make them look dead. That was her big. That's what her takeaway was. Now
you got
I think,
a future goth kid growing up.
I hope. I hope that she's that popular. My guess is the easiest thing to do was to make X's, and she noted we want to go through the process. The eyes, because she did not want to make these thank you notes.
Sure,
but maybe there is a Bauhaus in her. And maybe, you know, she'll be conjuring up stuff in the back of the high school bleachers.
Well, I guess it's better than... So my son, who is 8, has this obsession right now, and it's affecting everything he does at, like, school. Let me just kind of give you an example. So he was supposed to, like, write this book and present it to the class, and he made a little book called The Pigeon Goes to the Movies. And he's a pretty good artist. Like, he's all right. I don't know where he gets talent from. It's not me. But it says The Pigeon Goes to the Movies. And remember, he read it in front of his class. The teacher told me about this, by the way. This was, like, a thing after school. It wasn't – she was mad. She just wanted to make me aware of a situation. And it goes, The Pigeon Goes to the Movies. And it's got a picture of a pigeon. Open it up. It goes, The Pigeon bought a ticket to the movie. It's got a picture of the pigeon. The Pigeon bought a popcorn. It's got a picture of popcorn. And then it goes, The Pigeon made a poop. And it's just a giant picture of crap. And then it said, The Pigeon played with his poop. And it had him throwing the poop. And then it said, The End. And that was the entire movie. Basically, the pigeon went to go take a dump. Now all of his stories are obsessed with the scatological.
Yeah.
He made a story called T.R. Tootie Reindeer. It's a reindeer that flies because he farts.
Well, that's not uncommon. There is, if you watch any of the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon, there's a bunch of games that are out in terms of, like, board games or whatever. Like, there's one where there's a green glob and you have to, like, do something before it farts. So, and that's where the money is. Finally, the youth toy industry has given in and said, good. This is what we want. This mm-hmm. is what we want. The kids want the farts, and we're going to bring it to them.
It's like, just, here you go.
Yeah.
It's fart time.
Yeah. I mean, this is in every show, there's farting. Because that's what the kids want. And they get it. There's not. That's what I want. It's the only time I chuckle at any of those shows is when there's a fart joke. All right. I deleted my Facebook account yesterday for a couple reasons, but one of which is, I've read the last security breach. There's nothing up there that I'm ashamed of. But it's just, like, enough. Like, you know, screw them. I have no money invested in that company. And I don't, what am I looking at that for? I mean, there's pictures of people's kids, which I at one point enjoyed, but then it just becomes, like, five people that just, it's like almost like you could make, like, a elementary movie of it if you just flick the pictures. Like, it's just everything they do.
Well, I admit I'm a little paranoid about how we're being watched, but yesterday a story came out that might be the most terrifying of all of the you're being watched stories as of late.
Right.
Because it's real.
All right, so we will have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.